to the Dare to Believe podcast. My name is Christy Grainer, and I'm here with our friend John Thomas from Streams Ministries, president of Streams Ministries International.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's great to still be talking with you, John. We've had some great conversations about prophetic reformation, and both of us are dream interpreters and teach on dream interpretation, biblical dream interpretation. Yeah. There's all kinds of crazy stuff out there, but what we teach is rooted in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's some people that say they're rooted in the Word of God and get some crazy dreams. And and how do you help the body of Christ to discern? Being at the prophetic reformation isn't just about getting prophetic words.
Right.
Prophetic reformation is about discerning which dreams are from God, which dreams are from ourselves and which dreams are from some other source that's not godly.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that happens too. We want to focus on the dreams that are from the Lord, but we need to learn to discern how do we know that?
And
unless you have some community around you that will help you and some good teaching and you know the Word of God, you can get led into some really weird places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to be in this meeting. It was called the Convergence Council.
Yeah.
John Paul did this prophetic roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
I remember sitting there and I'm thinking, I would have paid to be a fly on the wall right now, because all these people, like 70 people, a lot of them that I considered heroes, like they were, they're
names
people that I recognize, like
books.
I knew that I'd read their books, I'd been at their conferences. I'm like, wow, like these guys are in the room. And we were going through the protocols for New Testament prophetic ministry that we now have on our website. John Paul, Mark DuPont, and a few others had put it together, and we just went through line upon line. So I'm sitting in this meeting, and we get to the point in there about recognizing that somebody that is in New Testament prophetic ministry should teach people the difference between prophesying out of their soul and getting a prophetic word. I was shocked, because I'm sitting there watching the questions and listening to people and realizing a bunch of people in this room don't even know that you can hear soulish prophecy, that there's such a thing. It was mind blowing.
Soulish prophecy being it originates in
your
soul.
Out of the soul, or I'm reading somebody else's soul.
Oh, okay.
The
so,
two forms. But let's talk about originating, because that's kind of the one that ties back into what you were talking about. Because you can actually program yourself to have dreams.
Oh, for sure.
And people don't realize that.
Well, and some very ungodly spiritual practices teach people to do that.
Right.
Because there is a power in it, but it's not a godly power.
Yes. But there's also a way to do it without even thinking about that we're trying to program ourselves.
Okay.
So a few years ago, there was some dreams that came out. They're broadcast quite broadly in the prophetic world. People were talking about them. I had people asking me about them, multiple people. Hey, what do you think of this? What is it actually?
A lot of excitement around these
dreams. A lot of excitement, a lot of being broadcast.
So there must have been something powerful on the dreams for them to see. Be out there and exciting people, right?
Well, one of the things, it was all talking about political landscape.
Okay.
Right? And when I listened to the dream, like I'm listening to the dream, what the dream means, and I'm thinking, there's nothing in this dream that I couldn't have guessed was going to happen based off of the news.
So there was no revelation.
So there's no revelation there. So like, so when people were asking me, I'm like, well, I mean, I think it's interesting. I don't think it's actually a message from God. I'm not paying that much attention to it. That was my response. Well, a little bit later, the same guy, he put out a couple other dreams, and then I was listening to an interview, because there was a lot of activity on this. And so I'm listening to this interview, and he's explaining how he spends 4 or more hours a day reading the news.
Feeding his soul. And it's not evil to the news, but what you take in and what you know in your mind, will, and emotions is your soul.
Yes.
Your mind, your will, your emotions. And so feeding that.
When you form it, it's going to bring back what you formed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can actually cause yourself to have dreams or experiences. Now, I don't recommend this. That's called witchcraft and divination. Don't cause yourself on purpose. But people have done this, that people in some areas, they'll use New Age practices mm-hmm. where they will visualize, meditate as they're going to sleep on a particular mm-hmm. thing. So sports people will meditate and visualize in their mind doing the perfect play, the perfect whatever it is that they do.
So they're training their soul.
They're training their soul. And then they go to sleep and they'll dream about doing that thing as they're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And it actually will give them benefits of practice without the muscle memory, but it actually will ingrain in the mind.
So that
the
in
mind.
Itself is not evil.
Not necessarily evil. What becomes bad is when you start doing that without realizing it and calling it a word from God.
Right. Where it translates into being a spiritual
right.
thing.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. I mean, Jeremiah 23 like is a great passage in so many ways, and I think it's probably one of the most important passages needed for the prophetic movement today. But one of the things that he talks about is people that cause themselves to dream. And I think it's in 23, but where, I know it's in Jeremiah, where God actually compares his word with the word of the prophets that cause themselves to dream. And it's like the difference between a rock and stubble that just gets burned up. Like one, it you know, when you burn stubble, it's flash, it's hot, gets a lot of attention. Everybody's looking at it, and then it's completely gone. Mm-hmm. A wind blows, and there's not even ash left. Like yeah. there's nothing left, but a rock, it's firm. And sometimes we actually have to sit back and wait a while to discern. We're so afraid of missing something. I wonder if FOMO is actually a spirit.
Oh.
Because we're so afraid of missing something that we're like, well, if I don't understand if this is really from God right now,
well, I better quit.
Yeah, well, what would actually happen? Like, we never finish that. We have that feeling, but we never finish it. So what would actually happen?
And what I like to describe to people is God is like wants relationship and conversation.
Yeah.
So he would give you something, and if you're afraid you're going to miss out, ask him.
Yeah.
He's a good father. Don't think, sometimes we treat dreams like, oh, God threw something in my lap and it's all on me to figure this out.
Yeah.
And if I don't, it's going to be terrible for me. That's not the way the Lord works.
Yeah.
He wants a conversation. You know, I years ago I was teaching dream interpretation with a group of people, and there was a lot of families there. And a lot of young people there, and the kids were learning as well as the adults. It was really kind of cool. And this young man, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years old, really wanted a drum set. And so he came and he was talking to me, and he said, I dream about having a drum set. You know, does that God tell me I'm going to get a drum set? He really wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, tell me about that. And he said, well, I really, really want a drum set. And I put a picture of a drum set right next to my bed. And every night before I go to bed, I look at the drum set, and then I dream about having a drum set. And he wasn't being evil.
Yeah, no.
He was just training
his soul.
This
is my desire.
And the Lord knows the desires of our heart, but just don't call that revelation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not bad to have desires.
Right.
But when we generate it, if we call it the Lord, that's the problem. That's where the issue is. So, you know, thinking about that, I'm not the person having the dream, but I'm hearing about it. How do I know if it's actually the Lord?
Yeah.
And you just gave the answer a second ago. It's the conversation. Mm. Like, again, the FOMO thing. I don't want to miss out on what God is saying. What if there's this great prophecy that comes out and I didn't know about
right.
it?
Right, right.
And then it happens, and then I find out later that God talked about it. Well, so...
Yeah.
Does that ruin our salvation? Does that make us less of a Christian? Make us less prophetic? Like, what does it actually do? When we think about it, we realize there's actually nothing there. There's no concrete thing that we need to be afraid of. But here's the thing. When you hear something, and I've had to do this because, you know, now in this position of overseeing Streams Ministries, people are asking me about this experience or this prophetic word or this thing that come out, or I have people sending me stuff, this here's this new prophetic word, you know, and it's constantly, okay, so which ones do I actually pay attention to? Which ones do I listen to?
So do people send it to you because they think you need to know this, or do they send it to you saying, what's your discernment on this, John?
Both. Okay. Both. I've had both. Sometimes it's
really,
like, you know, do you
discern.
Think that this is the Lord? Yeah. What are your thoughts on okay. this? But a lot of times it's like, oh, here's this prophetic word. Or somebody's hoping that they had a prophetic word and they give it to me because they want me to put it out and let people know about it. You know, so that kind of thing would happen. And so, you know, I'm getting a lot of revelation that's being sent at me. What do I actually pay attention to? And one of the things that I've looked at is, what does my spirit respond to? If my spirit doesn't actually respond to it, then I'm not going to pay attention to it. It may or may not be God, but I don't even need to know if it's God. Because if it's not God speaking to me, he's not going to hold me responsible.
Mm-hmm. And it's not necessary for you to shut down what happened or yeah. any of that. It's just like, nope, it's not doing anything in my spirit.
Right.
God's not telling me to attend to that. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we want to make sure to point out false prophets. And we do need to talk about false prophets, but
yeah.
we don't.
Well, there's a difference between false prophets and immature, mistaken prophets.
Yes. Okay. Speak to that a little
that's
bit.
That's a
speak
huge
to
difference.
That a little bit.
A false prophet is somebody that's leading you to a different God. False prophet isn't somebody got it wrong. Somebody got it wrong is a mistaken prophet.
Ah.
They maybe an immature prophet. Or maybe they're just mature and they made a mistake. But that's the one where, you know, Deuteronomy 18, you don't fear them. Right? If they get a prophetic word, they say it's a prophetic word and it doesn't come to pass.
Just ignore
do
them.
Not fear them. Yeah, just ignore them. Don't listen to them. If it happens once, you ignore that prophetic word. If you find that it's a theme, you start ignoring that prophetic person. Right.
Oh, yeah, that's really. So if it happens once, just ignore the prophetic word. If
yep.
you see a consistent giving prophetic words that are
yeah.
not of God,
that are
or
not
don't
of
speak
God.
To you, just ignore that person.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody keeps on predicting things and they don't happen.
You know, that's very interesting because I know when I was learning the prophetic, you know, we're talking a long time ago, but there would be prophetic voices that would come and they'd be in the Twin City area. So mm-hmm. they'd come to the Twin Cities and people would say, you got to go see this person. You got to yeah. go see that person. And the Lord just wouldn't let me go to the people. Not he, my schedule, I had little kids, my schedule wouldn't allow. But when mm-hmm. he wanted me to go to something, my schedule was open. It was easy. And I learned to discern that way.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of voices. I don't know if they were good prophetic voices or not. I mean, and it wasn't up to me to
yeah.
tell the world whether they were worthy or not or whatever.
Yeah.
But I did know that the Lord was teaching me what he had for me.
Yes.
And that is what
that's
key. The first place to discern. And not that
yeah.
we don't ever have to speak out against people who are doing things
right.
incorrectly
yeah.
or out of evil or being a false prophet, but we
yeah.
it's not our job to just to decide everybody should not listen to this person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
and
because God tells me that something or somebody's ministry is not
so
for me,
just because
doesn't mean it's everybody. Nobody should ever listen to him. It just
right.
means I shouldn't.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And what I have learned to pray is, Lord, if there's anything not of you, would you uncover it and
yeah.
cause it to be revealed? Because I don't always need to be the person revealing things, but I can
right.
intercede, and my prayers are powerful. So, Lord, would you uncover anything
yeah.
that's not of you and cause us to be brave enough to deal with it when
yeah.
it gets uncovered?
Yeah.
And, boy, he uncovers
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And then what happens is, let's say that someone's in a position of authority. So, like, you run a ministry school and
mm-hmm.
run a ministry. I run a ministry school and a ministry. If somebody that's part of that or part of my church comes and they're like, hey, I'm going to go listen to so-and-so, and I know so-and-so and I know what they teach, I will say, there's heresy there. Like, don't,
be careful.
You should not go listen to that. Or sometimes I'll say, you know what, there's some confusing stuff there. Be really careful.
So because you're the leader and
because
the
authority. Because I'm the leader and mm-hmm. I am responsible for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not responsible for that person, the other minister. I don't have any responsibility mm-hmm. there. So I don't have any responsibility to tell anybody about them. And I don't have a responsibility to go to them because I don't know them. If I know them, if they're in relationship with me, where I would confront them if I observe something, then I will confront them if
right.
I observe
so
something.
It's based on relationship.
But it's got to be based on relationship.
Okay. So relationship either as on a peer level or
right.
from a place of authority.
Yeah.
How about someone who is under someone of authority and the person that they're under their authority starts to do something that's off a little bit? Like if my pastor
right.
or one of my, you know, overseers or something starts
yeah.
to do something that's off, what is my responsibility there?
If you're affected by it, then you go to them, hey, I noticed this. This doesn't look right. Is this what you meant? Because maybe what you're seeing is not actually what's going on.
Yes, that's a good first place
to start. Yeah. Well, because I remember an experience. John Paul had done something, it was specifically related to a person, had kind of broken a relationship with them, and I heard one side of the story, and so I just went to John Paul. I'm like, this, why would you do this? This doesn't look right. And he explained it. Like, this is what actually happened. This is why I did that. I'm like, okay, I see your point of view. What I heard was different than what actually happened. Mm. Right? It was very different. And he thanked me. He goes, you know, people have just complained at me, but you're the one that actually asked me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between that. One is trying to accuse, which that's Satan's job. He's the accuser of the brethren,
Amen.
Not me. But
that's a huge piece.
Oh,
learning not to be the accuser.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not our job to be the accuser.
It's astounding how easy it is to think you know what's going on when you've heard the first story.
Yeah.
There's a Proverbs about that. He who hears the first side thinks he knows what's happened until he hears the other one. And all of a sudden, you wait a second, there's two sides to the story, which means there's at least three truths. Mm-hmm. There's what person A experienced, what person B experienced, and then what actually happened. And those are like, that's a lot to figure out. And my job is not to be judge in that situation. Now, if I'm an elder in that situation, I am called to be a judge, clearly in 1 Corinthians. But that's a different situation. If I'm not the elder, I'm not called to be a judge, but I can ask, I can go. And if somebody sins against me, I've witnessed that, then I go to them. Mm-hmm. But if it's not that, then it's not my problem.
Yeah. And that's not avoidance. It's just being based on relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Avoidance is when it's somebody I'm in relationship with and I don't say anything.
Yeah.
I
had a friend of mine that he had this experience. I heard this, I don't remember, first year I was saved. I've never forgotten this experience. He was teaching a class on the prophetic, and he was talking about this experience that he had where he'd gone into heaven in a vision. So visionary encounter, he's still aware that he's there. So he's not like, I don't know if I was in my body or my flesh. He knew he was having a vision of heaven. But in this vision, he's walking down a residential street in heaven with Jesus.
Okay.
And Jesus is pointing to the different houses and saying, you know, this is, you know, this person's, and this is why it's like this. Talking about the rewards and their, you know, what they'd done, the fruit of their ministry. And they'd done a couple, and they're coming up to this next house, and there was a dog in the front yard on a chain. And it starts, as they start getting close, this dog runs out to the end of the chain and starts yapping as they're walking by. The whole time. And Jesus just has to stop talking because you can't hear anything anyways. So they get past the house, and they're finally past the yard far enough. The dog stops barking, and my friend is like, that was weird. And Jesus looks at him. He goes, that was weird, wasn't it? He goes, yeah, that was weird. He goes, I never asked for watchdogs in my kingdom. I said watchmen.
Oh, interesting.
And we have too many people that are trying to be watchdogs. They just want to bark at anything they don't understand. What we need are watchmen that will only report what they observe, not what they've heard. And that would save us a bunch of problems. Because there's so much that's going on out there. I mean, there's things, the Lord is exposing things. 100%, he is. The Lord is exposing things.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Right. And once
not
the
me.
Lord has exposed it, then we have to have the courage and wisdom on how to deal with it. And we get that from him.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's be watchmen, not watchdogs.
Yes, yes. And so when people interpret a dream, it's important to know where you're interpreting from, where your dream has come from.
Yeah.
And when you do the, so in Streams Ministries, there are several courses, Art of Hearing God. And there's many courses that you have developed, but courses that John Paul developed as well.
Yep.
And then John Paul's courses are Art of Hearing God, Understanding Dreams and Visions.
Yes.
So in the Understanding Dreams and Visions course, you begin to learn this. That's a course people could take.
Yes.
If they want to learn, how do I tell if this is soul dream or not? But you also wrote a book that might describe some things that would be helpful for people. You show what
because
your book is.
The thing about the prophetic is whether it's a dream or a vision or a voice that I heard or a prophetic word, it's all the same thing. So when we talk about discerning prophetic experiences, it's the same principle whether it's a dream or not. And so like this book here, you're just mentioning discerning and responding to prophecy. So I'll put it up so you guys can see it. This book is, it's how do we actually recognize what comes out of the soul? How do we, what are the things that we use to judge prophetic experiences, revelatory experiences, whether they're my own, I have this experience trying to figure out if it's God, or somebody shared this experience with me and they think I should do something with it. What do I do? So what do you do with that? And then once you've figured out that it was God, how do you respond to it? What do you do with it? And so this is, this is a couple decades of pastoral wisdom and counsel that I put down into a nice, and it's a short, easy
it
to read because I tried to make sure it was just accessible. I didn't want a complicated, you know, treatise. I wanted just something that's very accessible to anybody that's wanting to grow a little bit, and I think it'll help people.
Well, and I love that we're starting to talk about dreams. I'm going to have you stay, and we'll do another podcast and interpret some dreams, because I love watching the Lord speak to you through dream interpretation. I love doing it, too. The Lord speaking in our dreams, and it's so fun. So thank you again for being here. We will continue this discussion in another podcast. But my name is Christy Grainer, and I'm here with John Thomas from Streams Ministries. This is the Dare to Believe podcast. You can find John at streamsministries.com, and you can find me at dtbmn.org. So blessings. See you next time.